Coming up on Outcast UK.
The murder rate in countries that criminalize this is off the charts.
Very conservative and very Christian place, and they're not very gay friendly, right? To the point where the mom had to ask to do the autopsy again because the first time it came out inconclusive. Okay, they didn't give a shit that it was a hate crime towards this poor man that was left on a beach after strangled.
And when 90% of your citizens are in disagreement, a silent or a very vocal minority should not be able to get an agenda through to this society.
We have been set in this little cosseted bubble in the global north. Meanwhile, people in the global south are literally losing their lives.
The marriage is between a male and a female. And I will support my colleagues here in doing whatever we could to ensure that nature's law prevails.
So we had US evangelicals traveling around black countries and promoting homophobia and literally spending billions of dollars to promote homophobia in black countries around the world.
Who's so behind that? Where's that money coming from?
America.
All right, welcome along, it's Graham. So as you can hear, I've just stepped off a plane. I'm here with my husband, Steve, in Trinidad and Tobago. We've popped here. To the birthplace of one of my good friends and my husband's family. And it's also the country where right now, our marriage isn't recognized by law. We're actually en route from Grenada where it's illegal to be gay, with a prison sentence of 10 years. We've been on our honeymoon, so we've just come here for the day on the way home before we fly back to Gatwick. We're in Port of Spain, the capital of Trinidad and Tobago, to speak to some locals. We've arrived pretty late. The airport was shut earlier on after a fire, and that gave me long enough to check up that the UK Foreign Office warns against risks for LGBTQ plus travellers and that sexual relations between men are punishable by 5 years in prison. Further to that, the US State Department says reconsider travel to Trinidad and Tobago because of serious risks from crime and that there's been a nationwide state of emergency declared. It's a great welcome. Yeah, I hadn't read that until I was on the flight. But I was here a few weeks ago for the night and was driven about with some friends. The US State Department and the Foreign Office wouldn't recommend that. But I got a feel for the country. In many ways, it reminded me of home. People just like to hang out here and party. The men like to chill with their mates and just mill about in public spaces. A practice called liming, apparently, where the lads just hang out and belong. It's that kind of culture. And I can understand that. I told a friend who was coming here, and he said, to think that this country's breathing the same air as us, that have got these opinions, it's madness. And I get where that sentiment is coming from, but I think it's misplaced. There's so much more to it. I think of its inherited laws from the British and think how the contemporary Caribbean lives in the economic shadow of the US, and some nations are caught in a trap. Countries that step out of line around these parts tend to attract the military attention of the United States, like, you know, Cuba, or nearby little Grenada where I was until earlier this morning. In the early 1980s, it was invaded by the US for having a leftist government. How dare they? They were bombed and the government deposed, and everyone was locked up who was involved, including one of my husband's relatives, who was in prison for decades for being a leftist. There was shock news at the end of March 2025, and the impacts could be wider than anyone had really imagined. The reverberations could be felt not just in the relatively small country that it happened in, but potentially for tens of millions of LGBTQIA people around the world. The Caribbean nation of Trinidad and Tobago's Court of Appeal reversed a 2018 ruling that decriminalised same-sex intimacy. The court reinstated the colonial-era sodomy laws, making consensual gay sex illegal again, punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Now, the judges have said that their hands were tied by what they call, and this is quite technical, a savings clause in the Constitution, which prohibits old British laws from the Empire days from being struck down. changing the savings clause, which is Section 6, by the way, of the Constitution of Trinidad and Tobago, that requires a two-thirds majority in both the House of Representatives here and the Senate. Now, this is a significant hurdle because only two political parties have achieved this majority since the country became a republic in 1976.
So we're about to go through two arrivals in the terminal building and meet Steve's friend, who's going to pick us up at the airport and take us for a bit of lunch. While Steve's friend brought us doubles, which is a traditional Trinidad street food served with some pretty spicy sauce, it has to be said, I left him to give us his thoughts about us as a married gay couple coming to the home of many of his relatives just days after homosexuality is being recriminalised.
Lost your voice.
I know, which is great for recording. This might come out awful.
This is proof that it's completely authentic, that it's this shonky. Oh no.
Don't make me laugh.
Jokes
aside, I know you spent, in the way that you do, and I love you for it, a lot of time researching things, and I was a little bit more blasé, as I have generally been about being gay when travelling. Like, not disrespectful, because I think you have to respect other people's cultures, but I think there's a difference between cultures and legality. And I didn't think anything would be different, and it kind of isn't, but it also kind of is. And as we got to immigration, and I'm like, well, we're a married couple. We are travelling together, so we should stand at the immigration desk together. And as I did that and looked at both our forms, ticked married, and then looked at both of our addresses as the same, and albeit our surnames are different on our passports at the moment, the fleeting thought of what if did run through my mind, and what if this person was the person that was going to be the Trinidadian immigration equivalent of a Karen and decide that she wants to press some buttons and see what happens. So
there were some looks as well, which I hate.
You're always a lot more aware of looks than I am, and sometimes
I'm also the only white person in a lot of situations in Trinidad, more than anywhere else in the Caribbean. I'm looking around, it's quite busy, there's loads of restaurants, we're eating some food, and I am the only white man, and I am not used to that.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah.
You are the only white European here right now. My mum was talking about the conversations we'd had about coming to Trinidad and about the law. I was saying it's absolutely fine, and people, you know, you go on the beach and you can see the gays, and they are there fine. But I think, I don't know. I mean, I hope they are still fine, but I mean, if there's one thing we know as we look at the UK and we look at the cultural change after Brexit, and we look at the US and we look at the cultural change after a Trump administration, I mean, I don't think the changing of a law is quite as seismic as something that affects the whole country, but I think there is still a correlation to be seen between when a legislative body changes the rules on something, and it does affect and impact people. So I think we have to wait and see as to how this change in the law will impact the LGBTQ people living here in Trinidad, and I really hope it won't and doesn't, but we need to wait and see.
Do you know, it's really weird, like, we're sat there outside in public having this conversation, and you have this sense of real trepidation. When we're talking about being LGBTQ+, voices are hushed. You kind of check the room, and that seems to be what happens in public here for LGBTQ+ people. One man who's not afraid to talk publicly about LGBTQ+ issues in Trinidad and Tobago and the injustice of the law being changed is Jason Jones. And actually, it was Jason that brought the initial court case in 2018 that had homosexuality decriminalised.
When you heard the court's ruling had reversed your 2018 victory and recriminalised homosexuality, what was going through your mind?
Well, I predicted that judgment from the hearing that happened at the Court of Appeal in Trinidad a year before, the head judge, Justice Barrow, made it very clear that he was not happy with the 2018 judgment. And it was a three panel of judges, two Black Christian judges and one Indo-Caribbean Hindu judge. And, you know, one of the things that we need to kind of dissect when we're talking about homophobia and this kind of issue in the global south is there are very vast differences between Christianity, Hinduism, Muslim faith. All of those things come into play in these issues. And although judges like to believe that they come into a case, you know, leaving their personal biases at the door, they don't. You know, and what we saw in that courtroom was a rollback that we're seeing across the globe. You know, and you have to remember when the president of the United States says there's only two genders and the Supreme Court of Britain says there's only one biological gender of women, you know, all of that impacts around the world, you know. So the judge, I predicted this judgment and I knew that when I first filed this case, when I first started working on this case in 2015, so I've been working on this case for 10 years, I knew that it would end up at the Privy Council, which again is another huge anomaly of our independence, that we still come to a white people's court for judgments. There's so many twists and turns, and you know, I hope interviews like this will help people understand that it's not just one issue that I'm fighting against. There's a multitude of different issues. There's issues of colonialism, of independence, of constitutional rights, democratic rights, homophobia. You know, the list goes on and on.
So the British Empire imported its homophobia and embedded this into the laws of many countries around the world, in particular the Global South. And this has been the issue in Trinidad and Tobago and Grenada, where I was for the last couple of weeks. But there's another more up-to-date threat to our rights around the world. With the United States exporting a modern, virulent, far-right form of anti-LGBTQ plus sentiment, and its mega-churches providing the foot soldiers to deliver this around the world, we have a new and so far not particularly well understood threat. We in the West have stood around navel-gazing, that's pretty much what Jason was saying there, hoping to be left out of the next debate about LGBTQ plus issues that might cause us some discomfort in our communities. But our lack of action and ambivalence, leaving our trans siblings to sort of the whims of Supreme Courts and laws around the world, is leaving LGBTQ plus rights across the globe completely exposed. Our overwhelming desire to belong in society that seems to be rejecting us has left us without a moral compass across a host of issues. And the people of countries like Trinidad and Tobago feel that more than ever.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this nation that was born in 1776. We pray for your spirit to move across our nation, and we humble ourselves and we pray. We repent of personal sins and national sins, and we humbly ask you to bless our nation and to bless our President Donald Trump. He is passionate, oh God, to see our Supreme Court filled with men and women who will stand for justice for all. And Lord, we thank you for all that you have begun.
So we had U.S. evangelicals traveling around Black countries and promoting homophobia and literally spending billions of dollars to promote homophobia in Black countries around the world.
Who's behind that? Where's that money coming from?
America. It's coming from evangelicals.
Who within America?
We're talking billions and billions of dollars. And this has been going on for over two decades. They've been traveling out. You would see flights coming out of the central states of America, the evangelical states, going to Uganda, and three quarters of the plane would be evangelical missionaries going into Uganda and spreading homophobic hate. Now, you'd wonder, why would you do that? Well, the point of this is a long-term plan of white Christian right-wing extremism. By going into Black countries and promoting this hate and encouraging laws like the Kill the Gays Bill in Uganda, they are promoting a hate that then will boomerang back to Europe and the Americas, saying, well, if the black people are doing this, why are we tolerating the gays here? So it's a very divisive politic that they have been pursuing for the last two decades, and it's been ignored by us here on the ground.